Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miditam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah
Tarayan Mayaham Tatve Mano Vai Karike Kilam Sarvindriyanam Atmatvam Praptim Prapnoti Manmana Tarayan, concentrating Mayi in me, Aham Tatve, within the element of false ego. Manaha, the mind, Vaikarike, in that which is produced from the mode of goodness. Akilam, completely. Sarva, of all living entities. Indriyanam, of the senses. Atmatvam, proprietorship. Praptim, the mystic perfection of acquisition. Prapnoti, obtains. Matmana, the yogi whose mind is fixed on me. Translation, fixing his mind completely in me, within the element of false ego generated from the mode of goodness. The yogi obtains the power of mystic acquisition, by which he becomes the proprietor of the senses of all living entities. He obtains such perfection because his mind is absorbed in me. Let's say all together. Fixing his mind completely in me, within the element of false ego, generated from the mode of goodness. The yogi obtains the power of mystic acquisition, by which he becomes the proprietor of the senses of all living entities. He attains such perfection because his mind is absorbed in me. Purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Key. It is significant that in order to acquire each mystic perfection, one must fix one's mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that those who pursue such perfections without fixing the mind in the Supreme Lord acquire a gross, an inferior reflection of each mystic potency. Those who are not conscious of the Lord cannot actually synchronize their minds perfectly with the universal functions, and therefore cannot elevate their mystic opulences to the universal platform. Text number 14. One who concentrates all mental activities in me as the supersoul of that phase of the Mahatattva which manifests the chain of fruitive activities, obtains from me, whose appearance is beyond material perception, the most excellent mystic perfection called Prakamya. Purport, Srila Viraraghava Acharya explains that the word sutra, or thread, is used to indicate that the Mahatattva sustains one's fruitive activities just as a thread sustains a row of jewels. Thus, by fixed meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the soul of the Mahatattva, one can achieve the most excellent perfection called Prakamya. Avyakta Janmanaha indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears from the Avyakta, or the spiritual sky, or that his birth is Avyakta, beyond the perception of material senses. Unless one accepts the transcendental form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no possibility of attaining prakamya or any other genuine mystic perfection. Am I supposed to do one more?
Yes.
Vishnu tradhishvare chitam dharayet kala vigrahe sa ishitvam avapnoti kshetragya kshetra chodanam. One who places his consciousness on Vishnu, the supersoul, the prime mover and supreme lord of the external energy, consisting of three modes, obtains the mystic perfection of controlling other conditioned souls, their material bodies, and their bodily designations. Purport, we should remember that mystic perfection never enables a living entity to challenge the supremacy of the personality of Godhead. In fact, one cannot obtain such perfections without the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Thus, one's controlling power can never disturb the plan of the Lord of Lord Krishna. One is allowed to exhibit mystic control only within the confines of the law of God, and even a great yogi who transgresses the law of God by his so-called mystic opulences will be severely punished, as revealed in the story of Durvasa Muni cursing Maharaj Ambarish. Om Ganatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Nena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katah Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Panakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpataru Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Pyaevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gopremanande Hari Bo. It's really great to be here with you all again. I feel like this is the prime time for association, for getting Sangha. So in so many activities, there's a lot of preparation work and a lot of cleanup afterwards for a very choice period in between, like with cooking. It takes a long time to grow things, prepare them, cook them, and then cleaning up and all that. But eating, it only takes a few minutes. Same with puja. Is setting up everything, and then the puja is very short compared to that, and then cleaning up. And the Bhagavatam class, it's a short period in our day. It takes a lot of preparation, just getting oneself up and moving and to the place, and then back home and off to somewhere else. But in the interim, there's such great benefit, because as Bhagavatam says, Shukadeva Goswami says, better a moment of full consciousness than a whole lifetime of simply running around without awareness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if one can even have one moment like that, then one's life could be turned and become completely successful. So it's an honor to be with all of you here to discuss the Bhagavatam today. Hare Krishna. This is this fascinating section of the Bhagavatam. Fascinating, I think, because there's a way in which living entities would like to be able to acquire whatever they like. This prapti siddhi, this means of acquiring whatever they whatever one likes, is certainly prevalent in the world even today. That there's, of course, ways in which, you know, it's been said before, but this Amazon Prime, if you sign up for $100 a year, you can just order anything and it'd be delivered at your door. And television, people want to have television everywhere so they can look at whatever they want to look at any time. When I was young, we had two channels. And one news show lasted about 20 minutes, Huntley Brinkley. And you had to get up and turn the channel yourself. This is a big deal nowadays. I mean, it's unheard of. It would be some kind of apparatus. But now there's 450 channels, thousands actually, thousands of channels, because people want to reach out everywhere and try to attain something. But there's an important question I thought of when thinking of this verse earlier that comes up in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam when Hiranyakashipu is doing his austerities in order to get some kind of mystic siddhis. And the point that is made is that one should not ask for benedictions that one can't handle. You see it coming with Hiranyakashipu. Everyone knows the story. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta recommended that we read this story 100 times. He told his disciples to read this 100 times. So we know the story, and you see it coming. He's preparing to get some big benedictions. And at the very beginning, you know, we're told, and watch out. In fact, there was a modern song, what's his name, David Byrne? He said, "Watch out, you might get what you're after." That was in one of his songs. And watch out, you might get what you're after. And so you have to, souls have to be careful because they have to realize that they're actually powerful. They do get what they're after. Krishna fulfills desires, and material nature is exacting in the way that she rewards whatever our activities are. You don't get what you want in life. Divyanga Prabhu was reminding me yesterday, you get what you deserve. And therefore, one, in this idea of prapti, acquisition, refinement of one's life is in considering what should I really acquire? What's worth taking in? Which things can I actually handle? And remarkably, there's not very much. So the Sri Shapanishad solves the problem by saying, Isavasam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjita magrita kasya suddhanam. Everything animate or inanimate within the universe is controlled and known by the Lord. One should therefore desire only those things that are necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. Doesn't that solve a lot of problems? The mind becomes active in thinking of all the things that one might acquire. Prabhupada labels these unnecessary necessities. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Prajahati yada kamam sarvan partha manogahan atman yeva atmana tushta stita prajnas tadochate. He says someone who's fixed in consciousness has stopped this constant flow of desires. Apuryamana machala pratishtam. It continues to flow, but they are undisturbed by the desires. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan. A person who is no longer connected to the manufacturing process in the mind of I need this and I need that. And what does he do instead? Atman yeva atmana tushta. He feels satisfaction in the self. And by that, stita prajnas tadochate, fixed in consciousness. So we already know, reading this section, that these mystic cities, we've been trained well in the process of pure devotional service, that we don't want all these things. So Lord Krishna is bringing up the technicalities of it and saying, see, they're available. And just because something is available doesn't mean that it's desirable. It doesn't mean you should take it. And so one can refine oneself, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, by considering yadrishya labhasantushto. Yadrishya means those things which come naturally of their own accord. Labha, that gain, santushto, be satisfied with that. And don't try to grab other things, because you won't be able to hold them for very long. Even the money that is so dear to everybody in this world. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went out with his followers, just after he took sannyas, he turned to them all and he said, did you bring anything? And they said, no, you didn't tell us to bring anything. He said, good. You'll observe how the Lord takes care of us wherever we go. And he said, now you can see in the universe that the Lord's filled it up with food and money, but everyone can get only what they deserve. You can't get any more. Even though it's all available, it's all out there, you can only get what's yours. He gave an example. He said, a king deserves every day a royal feast. But one day, he sits down for his royal feast, and then he becomes angry at one of his enemies. He said, okay, I can't eat. I'm fasting today. So now he has to fast. That's his karma. And then another day, he sits for the royal feast, and then he gets sick. So he can't eat that day either. And even though the royal feast may be available, it doesn't mean he can take it. So this is the opposite of this idea of working hard for some prapti siddhi. Whether it's through mystic perfection or whether it's through organizing one's life in such a way that one can reach out and touch everything or try to consume everything that's available. And it's of great satisfaction to know that one could be happy if you just had a little place to lie down at night and a set of Bhagavatams and Chaitanya Charitamritas and Bhagavad Gita. Just Prabhupada's books and a bead bag and a little mat. You can imagine a nice little mat, comfortable little place, but just a little place. And then some prasad and a little service, that's it. And if you have that, then you're happy. I was in an ashram a few years ago. I was at the Govardhan Ashram. We go there every year for the Kartik season. But I had a flashback experience to my brahmachari days. So I went in to find some brahmachari. I didn't know which room he was in, so I was looking here and there. And I looked in, and there was just the corner of a room, there was just a mat on the floor. He said, where's his room? I said, no, that's it. And suddenly when I saw that little mat on the floor, I thought, how nice. To be able to atman yev atmanatushta, just be satisfied in the activities of the self. No prapti. The only prapti one wants is to reach out and pick the Bhagavatam or to have some association with devotees. This kind of prapti is satisfying to the self. And if one can learn to be satisfied with that, then one becomes extremely wealthy, because then there's no necessity for going all over the world to try to take things. And part of that can be done by actually seeing what is it that I can handle. I mean, people consume a lot of information nowadays. Much of it is a quote-unquote news. And I was thinking, how much news can a living entity handle? I mean, how many unfortunate events can one's consciousness accommodate in a 24-hour cycle, or even within a month? I mean, we're not accustomed to that. We're very sensitive. That's why we're called sentient beings. So to have an onslaught of information from around the world, from events that we can't control at all, is a cause for anxiety. That's one example of the way in which people have become overrun by information, by their own propensity to acquire, which has been promoted as being a luxury, but it's actually not. So that's one point, and there are at least two other points I'd like to make, but before I do, I'd like to take some reflections. Anything that you've heard so far, that any point that's stuck for you, means that you'd walk out the door and somebody grabs you by the arm, like Pushkar, and he'll say, "What was that guy talking about in there?" And you'll say, "What?" Prabhu.
You quoted this Jagdicha Lakosan Kustodanda Kudamansa. He wants to be satisfied of whatever it comes in its own course.
Is that on? That mic on? Okay, got to hold it close. Now it's on. There it is. You still have to hold it close, though. It's because the broadcast, no one could hear without you. Okay, go ahead.
So whatever comes in its own head, one should be satisfied with that. But then we hear that we need to surrender. In Alakchua, mostly we have family, household. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that to see the family as a Krishna's family, children, and to serve them, I will earn money. He writes the whole song of Sarnagut. I'll guard your family. I'll bear all the expenses. Very details. And I'll go work hard. And how do you reconcile both?
Well, there's several ways you can deal with that. One is the way Srivas Pandit did. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "Srivas, you have a huge family, why don't you work? I mean, well, how do you do this?" And Srivas went, Mahaprabhu said, "What do you mean?" And Srivas said, "Well, if I don't get anything after 3 days, then I'll drown myself in the Ganges." And Mahaprabhu said, "Srivas, you should take sannyas then." And Srivas said, "That's not possible for me." And then Mahaprabhu said, "You'll never be bereft. The goddess of fortune will always live with you." I mean, that's one way. there are other instructions, and that is that one must deal with the world in an appropriate way. And that is not less money than one needs and not more money than one needs. And that's a process of introspection, just as I mentioned in the beginning. One has to refine one's consciousness to understand how much do I actually need. It's for my own good to understand that, because I'm actually satisfied by things that are not necessarily acquired by hard work. Narada Muni also said, "Be aware of the fact that you may work hard but not get what you're after. And you may not work at all and you might get something." Anyway, talabhyateya. Tasyaiva hetu prayate te kovido na labhyate yad brahmatam upariyada. Talabhyate dukavaranyata sukham sarvatra gabira sarvatra. What is kalena sarvatra gabira ramasa? That thing, just as you don't pray for bad luck, but bad luck comes anyway, so similarly, good luck will come also. So one can do one's due diligence in the world according to what's been apportioned to one. This is why I quoted the verse, tena tyak tena means what's been set aside. Something's been set aside for you already, and you don't have to over-endeavor for it. You can balance your life by making sure that your basis of life is your spiritual practice. And then do what you have to do. Dress how you have to dress in order to make your quota, which will be supplied by the Supreme. And if it's not supplied by the Supreme, you can't get it anyway. That was the other point I made by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pointing this out to his followers. I sometimes say this to people on Sankirtan, because sometimes people will say, I won't read it. I say, you don't have to read it. You just put it in your house, it'll bring you good fortune. And I say, do you know where good fortune comes from? And they say, I don't know where. I say, well, it doesn't come from working harder, because some people work 2-3 jobs and they still don't get ahead. I said, it comes from the spiritual platform. So if you keep this book in your house, it attracts spiritual good fortune. Just like when you have iron filings, they're attracted to a magnet, it'll attract. And they say, I don't believe that. I say, that's the best part, because even if you don't believe it, it'll still work. But it's a perspective. Yes, Tamahar Prabhu. Yes. Hare Krishna. It's a loose connection there. Didn't Prabhupada also, when the telex came out, remember the telex machine? And Prabhupada said, you know, they'll just talk nonsense over the telex. Of course, we're not Luddites. We're not anti-technology. However, we have to be meticulous about how we engage everything. Prabhupada said that the principle of engaging everything in Krishna's service is called spiritual intelligence. How to engage everything in Krishna's service. Anasakta sevishayan yatarham upayunjita nirbanda krishna sambande yuktam vairagya michite. He quotes that verse and said, this is the definition of spiritual intelligence, how to use everything in Krishna's service. Then, of course, it becomes spiritualized. Okay, yes, one or two more points, and then I do have a couple other things. Yes, Prabhu.
In one of the verses today, I was speaking about this
thread, yes.
Karmic activities that's being maintained, I guess, by the Mahatattva or something. Could you give some ideas? Is this like from previous?
Yeah, there's a lot of verses like that. There's one, if I can remember it, yata kanta pata sutras ota protas chachasita vishnab ita vita vishnu otam protam chasamstitam. One of Krishna's names is otam protam, everyone say. If any of the you are initiating, they get a disciple named Otis, you can call him otam protam. Otam protam means the threads that are in a cloth. They're vertical and horizontal, so the otam and the protam. They weave together. So Krishna's known to be tightly woven into everything. Ekopyasaura charitum jagadanda kotiyam shakti rasti jagadanda chayayananta andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamari purushantam ahambhajami. There are many, many references to the fact that Krishna is all-pervading. And the way in which the universe, the Mahatattva, is ordered is we're snugly fit into this fabric of the Mahatattva. And therefore, all of the karma that is due to us to come at any particular time will come just when it's due. In fact, we were just reading the other day about the father of Judd Bharat, and he was a very wonderful and pious person and tried to train Judd Bharat, which was futile because he was already a Paramahamsa and didn't want to be trained. But in any case, the Bhagavatam says, even though he had forgotten death, death didn't forget him. Came and took him away at a particular time. And so there's a relationship between the devas and the living entities who are human beings in the world and all other living entities of dependency. And each one is getting the due results of their past activities inextricably by the tight-knit system that's here in the Mahatattva. So while I was reading these verses, I found a reference by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur where he talks about a spiritual power. In reference to attaining mystic cities, it's dependent on one developing some spiritual power. And here, across the three verses and in the purports, we've heard that, first of all, it's necessary to remember the personality of Godhead in order to attain any of these powers of mystic siddhi. And this is a point that Prahlad Maharaj brings up to his father, Hiranyakashipu, who had attained mystic siddhis. And then when he saw that Prahlad was fearless in facing him, he wanted to know, that is, Hiranyakashipu wanted to know, where have you gotten such confidence, and where have you gotten your power? And Prahlad Maharaj answered, same place you got yours. That's an interesting point. It's all coming from Krishna. So similarly, my mind went to a purport in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in which Prabhupada talks about the importance of developing spiritual power. That verse is Prayana Kale Marasachalena Bhaktya Yukto Yoga Balena Chaiva Bruvor Madhye Pranama Vesha Samyak Satam Param Purusham Upaiti Divyam. In that verse, Krishna is describing the ways in which various yogis leave the world. And the particular verse I just mentioned talks about how those who have practiced yoga throughout their life, at the time of death, they're able to fix their life air between the eyebrows, and then think of the Supreme, and thus elevate themselves at the time of death. And in Prabhupada's purport, he says, quoting one phrase from the verse, that everyone who's interested in elevating him or herself must develop yoga balena. Everyone please say.
Yoga balena.
Yoga balena, strength by yoga. And he said there are processes like Ashtanga yoga and others that he said, but especially by bhakti, one must develop this spiritual power so that one can remember Krishna at the time of death. What? Oh, Krishna. So this is an important task that one can attend to during this lifetime. One may think, what's this lifetime for anyway? And if one knows what it's for, one can feel inspired that it's for developing yoga balena. And so there are various ways that yogis develop their siddhis, and there are various ways in the process of bhakti that we develop this spiritual power. So one of them Prabhupada mentions is Sankhya Purvaka. And of course, this is familiar to all of you because of the verse by Srinivasacharya, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibi Kalavasani Krito, in which he describes the method of performing devotional service by the Goswamis, six Goswamis of Vrindavan, in which they counted everything they did. And they were very meticulous about that. As a means for advancing, one must have what Prabhupada calls numerical strength. That's what Sankhya Purvaka means, numerical strength. So we have certain benchmarks like at least 16 rounds. And then there are other ways in which one may develop spiritual strength, especially Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that unless all my disciples, followers, read all of my books, and he names them, most of them, then they will take to eating, sleeping, and fall down. So there are ways in which one can count how much one's reading every day. And this is also induces a kind of spiritual strength. For instance, in reading the Bhagavatam, many years ago, I felt intimidated because I thought, well, there's a lot of books here, and there's not a lot of time. There's only 24 hours in a day. And I thought, how could I possibly read the whole thing? And then I heard a talk by this motivational speaker called Brian Tracy. And he was talking in practical matters about how any big task can be broken out into small parts. And once you do that, you identify what your quota is every day, then you can breeze through any big task by breaking it up into smaller pieces. Same with the mathematical problem, right? You took a lot of math. And if you look at the smaller operations, it's not that difficult. So for the Bhagavatam, then I got this idea, I should know how many pages there are in the Bhagavatam, because then I can break it up into small parts and possibly read the whole thing. So then I went about looking at the number of pages and dividing it into time periods and seeing how long would it take me, how many pages would I have to read to finish the Bhagavatam in 1 year. And it's only 41 pages. Just go, Haribo! And if I just say 5 years, it's only 8 pages. And I thought, well, that's doable. That's something I could do. And adding the reading of Bhagavatam to one's daily Sankhya Purvaka. What? Yeah, to the daily reading, to one's daily practice, gives a great power. And I bring this up because it's something that Prabhupada brought up frequently when sometimes he was told about devotees distributing large numbers of books, then he would write back and say, yes, but are they reading them? And even when our small book distribution party met with Prabhupada in 1973 in San Francisco, and we were introduced as being book distributors, Prabhupada said, you must also read my books. I've not written them just for selling. I've written them for you to read, become pure devotees, and go back to Godhead. So I just was experiencing the sublimity of taking a quota, numerical strength, for reading every day, and then feeling how it's altogether possible to go through all of these various books. This is a very practical point, but I just thought I'd extract it from this idea of people endeavoring for mystic cities, working very hard for materialistic rewards and so forth. But if one applies oneself in the bhakti practices, just as the Goswamis did by being meticulous and counting, then one will develop a similar kind of, one will get this yoga balena in bhakti. That was a thought I had, so I thought I'd bring it up. Okay, so there's 5 minutes left, and we'll take a couple more reflections or a question. Yes, Govinda Mataji.
Since I'm a math teacher, and I can relate to this, because when we give a problem to a student and they cannot understand the whole problem at once, you have to break step by step, and then it's easy to solve. So that's the point that you mentioned, that the big book can be read in a year or a few years. just breaking the pipe.
We thank you for your support. And that's an endorsement from a math teacher, so that's that's no small thing. Not in my book, anyway. Yes, Mataji?
Oh. The Bhagavatam and the spiritual books are so transcendental. I mean, reading it, you know, for the knowledge is there, but sometimes when you're in, you know, a bad situation, when you just open the book, it speaks right to you. You know, it's so powerful. I mean, I just came from my mom's funeral, and there were so many people there, and I was thinking, what, you know, they all say something. But as soon as you open the Bhagavad Gita, I was reading about the soul. I mean, there's nothing beyond it. It's so powerful, and it speaks to everybody, even if they understand it or not, but there's something that resounds with the super soul. So it's good to read it every day for the knowledge, but just if you're in mire or in a heavy situation, you just open it and it speaks right to you. It's always Krishna just talking to you.
Yeah, I was in Denver once. There's a lot of cowboys there. I sold the second canto of Bhagavatam, which is describing the universal form. The guy gave $10, cowboy. He came back about a half hour later. He had his finger in part of the book, like he had marked it. He goes, "Give me my money back." I said, "What?" "Just give me my money back." I said, "All right, here you go." I didn't want too many more arguments. And then he said, "Here." And he opened the book to that part, and then he walked away. And it was a description of the universal form, which is, of course, anatomically you know, detailed and correct. And do I have to say any more? Okay, so then, yes. I mean, you know, everything emanates from Krishna, so his body is complete. But people don't think of God having, you know, all the parts of the body. So what to speak of having a body at all? It really spoke to him. I mean, it was quite a shock. I don't know if he's ever recovered from that. People, you know, who get these books, they're getting correct information about the Supreme Personality of God and about the success in life. And it's the greatest treasure to make them available. It bestows the greatest treasure upon people by making them available. Yes, you were on this side. Okay, Mataji, please. 2 minutes, 1.5, 1 minute.
This may be a little bit off topic, but I'm thinking about what you said at the beginning of the class, that you said that one shouldn't ask for things that one cannot handle. Mm. And in that regard, I'm thinking how Mother Kunti was asking for calamities to come, and that's something that I always refrain myself from doing it, because calamities will come anyway, and I don't want to just remember Krishna when I am in distress. I like to remember Krishna also when I'm happy and having good times. So in that sense, I don't have to be always in an extra miserable condition.
Yeah, just for the last point I'll make now, which is that if one is preemptive, realizing that things come and go of their own accord. We were just reading yesterday about how money gets possessed by one person, and then somebody else takes it, and the person who stole it has it stolen by a third person, and the money just moves around, and everyone thinks it was mine at some point, but it's not. But if one gets in the habit of giving away to Krishna one's energy before it's taken away, then you get a credit for it. And if you don't, you don't get any credit at all, because you're just like everybody else. You wait till it's taken. So calamity often is taken, I consider calamity as something's taken from me because I didn't want it to go away. But if one can learn that by giving everything to Yageshwara, Krishna, then one actually becomes fully satisfied, because he can digest it and give it back in the way that we can actually handle it. But if I try to hold on to it, then I won't be able to digest it myself. I won't be able to handle it. So one of the ways, my point is in response to yours, and that is one of the ways in which to avoid calamity is to not have anything. And that means to give everything to Krishna and consider that everything belongs to Krishna and be an instrument. And then the calamity is not so considerable at all, because there's nothing really to be usurped. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivrindji ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Nitai Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Nitai Gaura Hari Bo, Nitai Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Nitai Gaura Hari Bo.
Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, hey, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.